Topic of today's shiur is whether a treifa is chaya or eino chaya, whether treifas must, by definition, die, or whether treifas could also live. This is a very fundamental topic and theme in Eilu Treifas. And we begin with the description of treifa as mentioned in the Chumash. Shmois Perek Chafes Pasuk Lamed says, Vanshe Kodesh Tiyun Li Uvasar Basodet Treifolo Sochelu Lakelev Tashlichun Oso. That flesh that you find in a field, which is torn up by a wild animal, you cannot eat that, and you should throw it to the dogs. So the Torah defines treifa, at least the simple meaning of the pasuk in the Chumash, as an animal ripped apart by a wild beast, and has nothing to do with the meat except cast it to the dogs. Now the Rambam, in Hilchos Machalos Asuris, Perek Dalet Halacha Vav, says, Treifa mur b'tara zo sh'tarfa oso chayas hayar, kegon ari v'nomer chyotzi behen, v'chainov sh'taraf, as we said, an animal torn apart. Ve'nata yochel lomer sh'treifa oso v'miso oso, you can't say that it killed it. Shimesa rei nevela. If in fact it succeeded in killing it, then it's a nevela. Umali mesa machmas atmo hiko b'saya v'miso shibra ari v'miso. So we deduce that treifa must not be talking about a dead animal, but a wounded animal, because if it were dead, it wouldn't really make a difference how it died, and therefore it should be prohibited already by nevela, and no need to prohibit it for treifa. For those interested in a sugya recently learned, look at the Gemara in Chulin Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. But that's what the Rambam concludes. Now the Rambam also says the next. The converse of that logic is that in matreifa shalom meisa asura, if the Torah prohibited the treifa that didn't yet die, so yachalim ba'zeva garag di baraglo biznavo ba'azno v'rada fitzilo mipivya aser, is it possible that if a wolf came along and grabbed an animal by its tail or by its leg or some other animal part of the anatomy that doesn't cause any damage, could that make it a treifa? So the Torah says baser basada treifa, that it makes it fit for a dog. So now we have two definitions. Number one is we know it can't be talking about a dead animal because that would be a nevela. And number two, we understand that it's not talking about a fit animal that was attacked by a wild beast and ripped peripherally or superficially in a way that it doesn't cause a mortal wound, because then that would not be flesh I have to throw to the dogs. That would be an animal that's still worthwhile keeping around. So therefore we understand it's talking about an animal that was attacked and maimed to the point that it sustained a mortal wound. That's what the Rambam concludes. Nimsas Lame, the Rambam says, Shatara Asra Hamesa, the Anavela, Tar prohibited Anavela, which already died. Vasra Nota Lamus, Machmas Makosa, Valvishadain Lamesa via Treif. And it also prohibited animal that was close to death, and that's a Treif. So now we understand that the Torah's definition of a Treif, Ivri Taich in the Pasik, Pashat Shat, simple explanation of the pasuk is we're talking about an animal that has sustained a mortal wound, which clearly means that the animal is going to die. And therefore, the Mishnah, our first Mishnah, Daf Mem Beis, first Mishnah of the Perek, says, Zeh klal, kol she'en kamo achaya treifa. Anything that has a disease, a deficiency, or a wound, that from that wound it's not capable of living, that's a treifa. So there are two things we learn from that. Number one, that if it has a condition that will cause it to die, a wound or a defect that will cause it to die, that makes it a treifa. And the converse, that if it's going to live, then it's not considered a treifa. That all follows from the Mishnah and from the Pasuk. One other corollary we can deduce from this rule is that if the animal has a condition, a wound that from which it would die, but it's curable, the animal could be cured with some medicine, some direct treatment, so then that's not a treifa. And that's the Gemara in Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, which discusses certain hunters that in order to immobilize animals, they would go ahead and give it a whack in its on its tzimis hagidin or on its kidney, and the Gemara says that they would die from that wound, but nevertheless that's not considered a treifa, because they had a mesaris, a tradition, that there are certain herbs and certain medicines that could cure these conditions. And since these are curable conditions, that doesn't fit the rule of the Mishnah, that if it's kamoa ein achai, it's a treifa. Therefore, that's considered to be something that can live and not a treifa. So we conclude that unless the animal is going to die by its wounds, and there's no medicine that can help revive it, can help cure the wound, that's a treifa. But even if it would die, but there's a medicine that can allow it to live, that's not a treifa. Because if Mishnah extracts from that Gemara and Daf Nadalam and Aleph that they were completely unaware of the medicine that could cure the animal. In fact, they thought this was a mortal wound because animals died from that wound. But then they came along and said they had a Kabbalah tradition that there is a cure. They were completely unaware of what the cure was, but they knew that there was a cure. And the very fact that they knew there was a cure meant that this wound was not something that is absolutely mortal. There's something there, a way out, so that's already not a treif. Now the Igrus Maisha, on the other hand, Ramosha Feinstein, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, in Choshimish Mechelik Beis, Simon Ayin Gimel of Stalid, says that if it's an unknown cure, it's of no value at all. Unknown cure has no value, and that would not go ahead and make it not a treif. The Chazon Ish says that a forgotten cure has no value. If we knew there was a cure, but we forgot it, someone locked it away in his vault, and evidence was destroyed forever and ever, and no one knows what the cure is, that also doesn't make it a treifa. Meaning, both according to Igrus Moshe and the Chazon Ish, that if the animal is going to die for lack of the medicine, because we don't know where that is, then that is now defined as a mortal wound. We'll come back to those opinions later. But we do see here that there's a very big machlokas between the Kesef Mishnah and these more contemporary poskim about whether it has to be in hand, the cure, or whether the cure can also be a theoretical cure. Is that enough that the animal should not, is that enough that it should not be a treif? We're also going to discuss later on in the shiur different types of cures. Not all cures are with medicine. There are perhaps what we call in Eretz Yisrael skulot, different cures by amulets and different chants and some magical extra medicinal cures that have nothing to do with medicine at all, and other forms of cures, perhaps even surgical cures. We're going to discuss what bearing they have on whether a wound is considered mortal to make a treif. We'll come back to that topic a little later in this year. Right now, let's recognize that even though the Mishnah said that seems to say treifa nechaya, and even though the pasuk seems to say that a treifa cannot live, as defined by the Rambam, but there is another opinion brought in the Gemara at the beginning of the Perek, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, the opinion of Tana Devei Rebbe Yishmael, that in fact treifa chaya, treifa can live, which he derives from the pasuk bein achayah hanecheles. That we're obligated to distinguish between the living beast and the beast that cannot, the beast that can be consumed, the beast that cannot be consumed. And from there he derives that even though something is a chaya, even though it could live, but there could be a chaya she'ena nachelis. I mean, there could be a chaya that is a treif. Even though it could live, it is a treif. So according to Tana Rebbe Yishmael, this is not an axiom at all, and in fact treifas could live. Before we explain Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, let's understand the question that the Ramban raises. It says, how do we have such a machlokas in the first place? Our general rule about machloksim, about disagreements in the Gemara, which every yeshiva bacher knows from a very young age, is that there's no such thing as a machlokas in Metzius. No one's ever arguing about the facts. The facts, the chazal, the sages, and the poskim were mature enough to not sit and debate what's in front of their eyes. But the only question is how it applies and how it's relevant. So the Ramban asks, how could there be this disagreement about whether treifas chaya, treifa ain't a chaya? Just see, out there on the street, we have the list of treifas provided to us by the Tanayim, by the Gemara. Go see whether they die or they don't die. Find out, make your survey, do your experimentation, and decide, did you ever see one live or didn't you see one live? The Ramban says that certainly that's how the opinion of treifa ain't a chaya arrived at their conclusion. Besides the proof from the verse and the other seeming proofs from the Gemara, but certainly they arrived at their opinion by just observation. They saw that treifas don't live. How soon they have to die we'll discuss later in the shir, but treifas don't live. The Ramban says the opinion of treifa chaya holds that they had a Masorah tradition passed on to them from their rebbeim that treifas do live. They can survive. And so even though they never observed a treifa chaya, they never saw it happen, but it doesn't really make any difference because they had a tradition that is possible. So therefore, their approach and outlook on treifas was not one that demanded that a treifa had to die based on their tradition. So Ramban explains how they can go ahead and have a disagreement that seems to be a disagreement in fact as opposed to disagreement in outlook and understanding of the halach. So moving on, one thing certain from Tana Devei Reb Yishmael, if a treifa can live, then the fact that it could be cured, that a mortal wound could be cured, is of no consequence. Because what are we saying? We're saying, hey, this wound could live. So we don't care that the wound could live. That doesn't stop it from being a treifa. And that's what the Gemara says in Membeis on Membeis. That the Gemara, at least at its outset, said that Reb Shmuel bar Reb Lazar, who holds that when a leg is amputated above a certain point, creating a mortal condition, it could be cauterized at that point and the animal could live. And so the Gemara says that he cannot hold, according to Tana Devei Reb Yishmael, because according to Tana Devei Reb Yishmael, that a treifa could live, it's absolutely relevant to us whether you have a procedure that could allow the animal to live. This is a mortal wound, and the fact that it's living doesn't go ahead and there's no relevance to us in changing the halacha that it's a treifa or not a treifa. So that's certainly one consequence. But we have certain questions on this approach to treifa chaya. Question number one is that once we're saying a treifa can live, then how do we distinguish between a treifa and not a treifa? If we say treifa ain't a chaya, it's all clear. A wound that kills is a treifa. A wound that doesn't kill is not a treifa. But once you're saying a wound doesn't have to kill to be a treifa, so how do you tell which wound is a treifa? And how do you tell which wound is not a treifa? Which puncture makes a treifa, which one not? Question number one. Question number two, how could you call a living animal a treifa? Treifa is something that's headed for the garbage can, headed for the dogs. That's what the pasuk says. So if it's something that's going to live and it's not headed for the dogs, so that seems to be contraindicated by the pasuk itself. Pusik says treifa is headed for the dogs. So how could you call a living thing a treifa? You might have an opinion treifa chaya, but how could you call that a treifa? So again, question number one is, how do you distinguish between a treifa and not a treifa, according to Reb Yishmael? Question number two is, that why could you categorize such a thing as a treifa if it is not fit for the dogs? Now it's good to note that there's a Tosis in Sanhedrin Dafayin Chesem and Aleph that says that even Tana de Reb Yishmael, who holds treifa chaya, holds that the treifa is still going to die. Treifa chaya, but it's going to die eventually. Just later rather than sooner. Because if you don't say that, then you cannot say that a horig as a treifa is putter, according to Reb Yishmael. We have halacha that if someone kills a person who's a treifa, who has one of these conditions, then he's not executed, because he's considered a dead man already. Now, according to Tana Reb Yishmael, the treifa is chaya, so that should be an irrelevant piece of information, whether he's a treifa. Or he is a treifa, if he's a live man, so then we shouldn't care that he's called a treifa. So Tosa says that even Tana Reb Yishmael holds that he'll die, but just not so soon. Just won't die so soon. So therefore, at least we have some kind of definition understanding of Tana Devei Reb Yishmael. Tana Reb Yishmael holds. Treifa chaya means he'll live longer than the bounds set by treifa einachai. He's going to live longer, but he's not going to live forever. The animal eventually will succumb to its wounds, so therefore we have the right to call it a treifa, but it's just not quite as close to death as according to the Mandamer treifa chai. But it's still on its way, and it still eventually will succumb to its wounds, so we can at least distinguish between the treifa and the not treifa, who will never succumb to its wounds. And also we understand why it's called a treifa. In the end of the day, an animal that's headed to die, someone could easily say, well, that's for the dogs, and I don't want to eat that. It's not so pashut, because if it'll live for 2 years, then why go throw it out? Why not eat it? But nevertheless, it's a sickly animal, and it's headed for death, and people like to eat healthy, so they wouldn't want to eat such a thing. Save it for the dogs. And that would be understanding Reb Yishmael. But there's one problem. Tosfos and Zvachim, Daf Kufta Zayin Omer Aleph, indicates that according to Tana Reb Yishmael, there would have been no problem if Noach was a treifa. The Ribbono Shel Olam said Noach should go into the teva as a chai, and according to Tana Reb Yishmael, the treifa chaya, it could well be that Noach was in fact a treifa, but lived on for 350 years. Now we don't have to have too much imagination to know that even if we would say that Noach eventually succumbed to his wounds, well, he would have outlived generations of reporters who were writing his obituary, and 350 years is pretty hard to call that a treifa, and somebody's going to die if it outlives the normal lifespan. So there is a bit of a question in how it's a nice idea that Reb Yishmael holds eventually they'll die, but they won't die so soon. But since Tosfos seems to think that's unbounded and can go on and on and on, so how in the end does Reb Yishmael say that a treifa chaya is considered a treifa? How can it be alive and dead at the same time? Two possibilities. One possibility is that Reb Yishmael doesn't hold that all treifas are chaya. Not all of them. He's just willing to say that some treifas are chayas. Most of the time, the wound is going to go ahead and cause a mortal injury and is going to die. But sometimes the animal might eke it out and manage to live. So that's still called a treifa, since most, like everything else in the Torah that goes by rov, goes by the majority. So Reb Yishmael says that if most of the time this wound is going to cause the animals to succumb in a timely fashion, untimely death in a timely fashion, but that's enough to make it a treifa, even though there are going to be some exceptions. That's one possibility. There are a number of difficulties with that possibility from Gemaras and Brachas and Arachin and Tmura, which and Nida, which we don't have time to discuss all those sidetracks now, maybe another time, but it's way beyond the scope of the shir. But let's just at least understand by tangential mention that it's not so simple to say that shot in Reb Yishmael. Another possibility is the Reb Yishmael disagrees with treifa einachaya only in as much as a refuah being relevant. Now, this treifa einachaya means it's an absolute. Treifa is not going to live. And if you can cure the treifa, as is true for the Gemara, Adaf, Mundalam, and Aleph, that will go ahead and make it considered to be not a treifa. The wound is dangerous, but since the cure is known, or even unknown, but the cure is there, that means that the wound, in the bottom line, final analysis, is not a mortal wound. Reb Yishmael disagrees. Reb Yishmael says, treifa einachaya, meaning if the wound is mortal, and the wound can cause death, then I don't really care the fact that there is a cure available. So it could be that's the only point to which Reb Yishmael is arguing, and that's what the Pshat in the Gemara Membeis and Membeis, it says, according to Reb Yishmael, we don't care if there's a cure. We don't care that you can cauterize the amputation and stop the bleeding and prevent the infection and the animal will live on. It doesn't make a difference to us. Since untreated, the animal is going to die from the amputation, then that is a treifa, and the fact that you can do something about it is irrelevant. That is one possibility. The only problem is, side problem, just for those who are learning the sugya, that Gemara's maskana is that Reb Yishmael agrees with Reb Shimon ben Elazar's opinion, and he holds in the end of the day that since it could be cauterized and treated, it is not a treifa. That sounds exactly counter to Tana Reb Yishmael's opinion. But that again is a sidetrack, which I'll leave for further analysis beyond the scope of today's shiur. That's all treifa chaya according to Reb Yishmael. Of course, we pass in the halacha the treifa ain't a chayim, which means that the treifa cannot live. Now the Gemara on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis Nun Ches entertains a number of possibilities of whether treifa ain't a chaya, treifa chaya, and it goes through a number of testimonies of different animals that were afflicted with some of the list of treifas, and nevertheless managed to hold on and to live anyway beyond 12 months. And it has testimony on the other side that Rebbe said that even a treifa that lives 30 days is considered already not a treifa. That's too long. Treifa can't survive more than 30 days on the bottom of the Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. So in the end of the day, the Gemara concludes that these testimonies that there were specific treifas that lived more than 12 months were all incorrect testimonies, inaccurate, didn't analyze the details carefully enough. And in fact, the maskana of the Gemara in Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, the halacha is, when we're talking about a male animal, kol shneim asar chodesh, if it survives 12 months, it is not a treif, which means the treifas will perish within 12 months. So much so that if we have an animal that survives 12 months, we know that it's not a treifa. Because if it would have been a treifa, it would have died within 12 months of its injury or contracting whatever condition defect that it contracted. So that's the bottom line of the Gemara. Treifa in achaya means that it's going to perish within 12 months. Now the Rashba in Tshuvas, Simon Aleph, Chelik Aleph, Simon Tzadiches, he dealt with the issue of many people came to the Rashba and told him that they've seen treifas that survive. They've seen treifas that live 12 months. So how do you deal with that, considering the Gemara's maskana conclusion that treifas don't survive 12 months? Well, which way is it? Do they last 12 months or don't they last 12 months? How could it be? So the Rashba said, rule number one is that the Gemara is empirical. And if the Gemara came to the conclusion that treifa ain't a chaya, treifa doesn't live, and that a treifa is going to perish within 12 months, then that is as good as irrevocable fact. And don't come to me talking about animals that live 12 months, because just like we said on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, three testimonies of a treifa surviving more than 12 months, and we said they're all incorrect testimonies. That was the Gemara's bottom line. So whatever you're telling me now, says the Rashba, it's either that people didn't analyze the facts carefully enough and they're making some mistake, or, even worse, that they're fabricating a story. And it's not true. Treifas do not live 12 months. And the Rashba discarded of a number of possibilities of how we could accept the testimony as anything less than faulty and still retain our rule of a treifa ain't a chaya. First thing the Rashba disposed of, he said, don't tell me that when it says treifa ain't a chaya, it means most treifas don't live. Don't tell me that. He said, if a treifa ain't a chaya means all treifas don't live. Any animal that's contracted a wound or a condition that's listed as a treifa will not survive 12 months, nikuda. There's no other way. And if even one animal that had such a condition would survive 12 months, that would be proof that such a condition is not a treifa. Treifa is absolute. Not al pi rov, not even ruba de ruba, an overwhelming, compelling majority. But if there's any exception to the rule, it's already not a treifa. That's how the Rashba understood treifa. Treifa is absolute. An animal that is certainly mortally wounded is a treifa. If it's not certainly mortally wounded, it is not a treifa. So the Rashba said that that's not a possible way to explain the situation. Number two, the Rashba said, don't say that it's true that treifa ain't a chaya. No treifa survive. But that doesn't mean that all animals become a treifa when afflicted with a certain condition. The Gemara says, a punctured cranial membrane makes a treifa. Well, maybe the Gemara means that most animals, it makes a treifa. Almost all animals, it makes a treifa. But there are some animals that it doesn't make it a treifa. And those animals live. So we haven't now contradicted what is clear, that a treifa is ain't a chaya. A treifa, in fact, doesn't live. All treifas don't live. No exceptions. It happens to be, though, that the list of conditions that make a treifa, that's not absolute, because there are some animals have a stronger constitution or stronger membranes or something, and they could survive, and they're not treifas. So all treifas ain't a chaya, but some animals just aren't treifas when they're subjected to some of these conditions. The Rashi says that's also impossible, because when the Torah says treifa, it's discussing a condition that certainly kills. And if the condition doesn't certainly kill, either because it's just not that lethal, or because there are some animals that could survive such a condition, either way, that's not considered a treifa. So Rashba said, you can't tell me that answer, and you can't tell me that answer. And the only thing you can say is that they got it wrong. And they're just messed up. However, the Rashba himself seemed to have to deal with something that he couldn't just wave away as being factually incorrect. And that was congenital defects. Yaseris and chaseris, when there's extra limbs or body parts, internal body parts, or missing internal body parts from birth, which the Gemara says in the case of Yaseris is yeser kenotl dami. If it's extra, it's as if it's taken away. And the Gemara, if it's leaving, also if it's missing already a limb or an internal organ, then it's clearly missing. Those fit on the list of treifas. But even though they fit on the list of treifas, the Rashba had to concede that, in fact, they could live. That when we're talking about a congenital defect, it could live. What happened to treifa in achaya? Treifas don't live. So the Rashba says that since this wound is lethal, by definition, when it occurs in an animal's lifetime, so now this wound is here. Here's the wound. It's true that when it's congenital, it's from birth, it's not lethal, but it doesn't make any difference, because this wound is defined as a lethal wound. When it happens in an animal's lifetime, which is what the Pasuk is talking about, an animal that's attacked, so then it's lethal, and therefore any animal that has such a wound, whether it will kill it or not, is a treifa. Now, if it wouldn't kill it in its lifetime, then that would mean it's not a treifa, because it's not, by definition, a lethal wound. But as long as it kills it for certain in its lifetime, then even if we have now a situation where it's not lethal when it's congenital, that's not a stira contradiction to treifa einachai. And that's what the Rashba says. But the Rashba is still not quite in the clear, because the Gemara is eduyus on daf nun zayin amid beis. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe said that simon l'treifa near the bottom, maybe six lines up from the bottom of the daf, nunzayin amid beis, simon l'treifa shloshim yom, that if an animal lives more than 30 days, it's not a treifa. Amru lo. So the sages in the Beis Medrash told Rebbe, v'lo harvei miskayim o shtayim sholoshonim, a lot of them survive 2 or 3 years. Now, this Tanoim speaking. It's not people off the street giving testimony. It's Tanoim. And Tanoim are testifying in our Gemara that Harbe Misgaimim Shnayim V'Sholesh Shonim. It's clear in the Tosefta that we're talking about Tanoim is the Eidos of Tanoim. The Tosefta doesn't say the word Harbe, but our Gemara does say the word Harbe. So, what does the Rashba say about the Eidos of Tanoim that many live 2 or 3 years? What do you do with that? You're saying that Tanoim also were inaccurate and sloppy reporters and Chas v'Chalila fabricating stories. That doesn't sound something like the Rashba wants to say. So what do we do with that? The truth is, that is not such a kasha, because this is all before the Gemara concluded the Treifa Einachayim. And as long as the Gemara has not concluded treifa einachaya, treifa will not survive, by definition, which is how the Rashba understands treifa einachaya, so then there's no problem saying that most animals will die and some will not, and that's still called the treifa, as we really explained as one possibility in Rebbe Yishmael. But the minute that we say treifa einachaya, then the Rashba has to say the words, as he says about these tanoim, he says, lo hayu dvar. Lo hayu dvar. Which sounds very much that he's saying that lo hayu dvar miol. In other words, the Gemara entertained that, But in the Maskonas HaSugyan Daf Nun Ches, the Treifa Eina Chaya, we have to say that there was never any such testimony by the Tanoim. If something was recorded in the Tosefta, it was an accurate recording of what the Tanoim said. Tanoim aren't inaccurate, but sometimes a recording in the Tosefta can be inaccurate, and that's what we have to go ahead and say in the Rash. So up until now, we've discussed the Rashba's opinion. The Rashba's opinion is that Treifa Eina Chaya is an absolute, and there are no escapes in Treifa Eina Chaya, with the exception of a congenital defect, which is still a Treifa, even though it lives, because the wound itself is lethal, absolutely lethal, if it occurs in an animal's lifetime, and that's what the Torah is talking about when it says that an animal is a Treifa. It has sustained such a wound. But that's the Rashba. But clearly, the Rashi's pshat in the Eidos of the Tanoim is a dochek. To say that all this was recorded incorrectly is not exactly what we would call pashut pshat. Now the Marshal, on the other hand, he had no problem saying that a miut of treifas could live. Treif and achaya means most of them won't live, but some could. There's no problem with that, as long as for the most part it'll kill. Then even the animal that it won't kill, or even this particular condition that is not going to kill, that could be treif and achaya. That's no problem. Some treifas could live. Most treifas don't live. We can still call that a treifa. We know what's a treifa, what's not a treifa. Everything's fine according to the Marsha. One problem. The Gemara concludes, as we've mentioned, that after 12 months, we could determine that an animal's not a treifa by waiting it out and seeing whether it lives 12 months. That's all fine according to the Rashba, that it's an absolute, that it cannot possibly survive 12 months if it's a treifa, with the exception of congenital defects, which you mentioned, but otherwise, talking about lifetime sustaining of injuries, if it lived 12 months, it can't be a treifa. That's according to Rashba, that makes sense, because it's absolute. But once the Marshal says it's only a rove, it's only a majority, and there are some treifas that could live, so what does it prove if it lasted 12 months? It doesn't prove it's not a treifa. Maybe it's from the miyut. Maybe it's from the miyut. That's what the Prima got in. Siv Seidas, Siv Melamed, Siv Cotton, Hey, Ass, On, the Marshal. He said, how can you go ahead and permit an animal after 12 months? Doesn't make sense. Says it explicitly, the Ramah, the Mechaber, In Siman and Zion, Sif Yud Ches codifies that you can wait out a Safek Treifa 12 months, and if it survives, that proves it's not a Treifa. So the Ramah says the same thing. So how does it work? How in the world could you say that such a thing is not a Treifa? Maybe it's just from the Miyut, according to the Marshal. The Rashi was fine, but what about the Marshal? Problem number one. That the Sisei Das answers is because the Marshal doesn't mean it a minority, a significant minority is able to survive. He means an insignificant minority. One in a thousand, one in a million, what we call mi'uta de mi'uta. Something that we do not have to maintain a halachic concern for such paltry incidents of treifas chayas. It could happen, the Marshal says. If you bring me a case where it happened, I'll say that's from the miyuta to miyuta. And I'm not going to go ahead and get nervous about what happened to my axiom of treifa eina chaya. But if you go ahead and show me an animal that survived 12 months, so I'm not going to go ahead and say, well, maybe that's miyuta to miyuta. I don't have to say that. It makes a lot more sense to say it's not a treifa than to say that it is a treifa from the miyuta to miyuta that's chayas, which is a better explanation of the situation that I just observed. That is not a treifa. That makes a lot more sense than saying that it's from miyuta to miyuta, it's from the extreme minority that will in fact survive even though a treifa. So that's how Sifrei Das explains, the Prima Gaudim explains the Marshal. But there's another problem according to the Marshal. And that is, why is he motzi from the klal of treifa nechaya? Treifa nechaya is a klal. We have a rule that treifa doesn't live. According to Marshal, it's no longer an absolute. Not an absolute treif and a chayim. The Marshal could have answered otherwise, and he would have resolved all the problems. He could have answered, as the Rashba discarded with the possibility, He could have answered that really treifa einachai. There's not such thing as a treifa that lives. No treifa survives. It just happens to be that not every animal that sustains such an injury is a treifa. Some animals not. Miyuta the miyuta of animals not. Whatever the case may be. But some animals just aren't a treifa. Then we don't have to go ahead and all of a sudden wonder what happened to treifa einachaya. All treifa einachaya. Some animals just aren't a treifa with those conditions. Just not all those conditions are treifa. But vare, if it's a treifa, it's einachaya. And not only that, but we would seem to gain something even more important according to the Marshal. Because if we say this pshat, then it comes out that if an animal lives 12 months, so we conclude definitely that it's not a treif. And even though there's a miyut of animals that when they sustain such an injury are not treifas, that's just fine. Well, that's good. It's not a treifa. So we're never going to make a mistake. There's not a miyuta de miyuta, a statistically insignificant possibility, but nevertheless a possibility of we having a treifa that could survive the 12-month test and incorrectly be labeled as not a treifa. If we take this other approach, if it survived 12 months, it's certainly not a treifa. Either it didn't sustain the wound that made it a treifa, or it sustained the wound, but it's still not a treifa. So this has an advantage over the Marshal. But even the Marshal's approach, we see somewhat even in the Rashba. Because remember, the Rashba says the treifa nechai is an absolute. But it's absolute up to a point. Congenital defects, the Rashba says, treifa chayim. But the Shach says, in Siman and Zayin, Sifkat and Memches, the Shach says that what if you have a Safek Yaseris? What if it's not certainly an extra organ, but we don't know? There's certain halachic questions here. We're not certain whether it's an extra organ. We can't tell. We don't know. So we want to let it sit for 12 months and then see if it survives and then determine it. So Shach says that works according to the Rashba. Even according to the Rashba, if it survives 12 months, it's considered not a treifa. Now that's a big question. Because if it survived 12 months, the Rashba said the congenital defects can survive. So the Shach says that we have to say in the Shach is that you see that even a Rashba said congenital defect that animals could survive, he only meant a miyuta de miyuta. Just like the Prima Gadim said in the Marshal, that's what we have to say in this Shach to explain how he understands the Rashba when discussing Chaseris and Yaseris, congenital defects. Just along those same lines. There's another sheet that the Tu Ashur, to answer this question, says something similar to the Marshal, but not exactly. And what he says is that all treifas ain't a chay. They all die. Except there's a miut that live longer. They're going to succumb to their wounds eventually. Very similar to what we said originally, Rabbi Shmuel. They'll succumb, the way Tosfos understands Rabbi Shmuel in Sanhedrin. They'll succumb to their wounds eventually, but there is a miut, a small amount that are actually going to live and live longer than the 12 months. So one, that's what the Tu Ashur says of Pshat. So if we see an animal living longer than 12 months, it's no contradiction to the axiom of Treifa Nechai. That's fine. But we still understand that it's going to die eventually. So the advantage of the Tu Ashur of the Marshal is that we don't have to go ahead and contradict our rule of Treifa Nechai. All treifas are going to die. The only question is how soon they're going to die. But we still have the question on the Tu Ashur of how in the world Chazal could go ahead and permit an animal that we tested for 12 months and let it live. Doesn't make any sense. How do you go ahead and know maybe it's from the miut that can live longer than 12 months? And even though it might be a miuta de miuta, as the Prima Gadim said, as we said in the Shach, but nevertheless, it's somewhat difficult to say that Chazal made a takana for us to go ahead and take something that looks like a treifa and take it out of its suspicion of being a treifa by something less than conclusive. Even as miyuta de miyuta, that Chazal gave a makom lidei michshol, a place that we might go ahead and pronounce an animal not treifa when it really is a treifa, that seems difficult. But that's our conclusion. According to Rashba, it's absolute. According to the Marshal, most treifas die, some don't. According to Tu Ashur, all treifas die, but some live longer than 12 months. And according to the pshat that no one seemed to like, except me, treifas all die, and they all die within 12 months, but not every animal afflicted with a condition listed as a treifa is in fact becomes a treifa. Now, what happens if we have other evidence, very convincing evidence of treifas that live? Rabbi Yerucham discussed in the Siv Tesvav Os Gimel, he discussed people that literally have holes in their skulls, holes in their heads. There are a whole bunch of people that are walking around living with holes in their heads, and that everyone seems to agree that that was the case. So, do we say that they're not treifas, or they are treifas? Rabbi Yerucham said that ein lanu elamashamanu chacham. We only have what chachamim said. Chachamim said it's a treifa. We don't care that there are all sorts of people walking around with holes in their heads. It's whatever the story is. They're living. They're still considered treifas, and we don't care that they're all living. Now, the Tzvua Shor in Siman Lamed Siv Ches brought down this Rabbi Yerucham, and his approach to understanding Rabbi Yerucham is that even though nature changed, when Chazal said that Nechser Gulgolis is a treifa, they meant that it was a treifa and it was a mortal condition. But even though nowadays it doesn't seem to be a mortal condition, nevertheless, halacha still is it as a treifa. That's how he understood Rabbi Yerucham. And from here comes the concept, the first mention of the concept of even though it's nishtane hadin, it's nishtane teva, even though the nature changed, but the din, the halacha, didn't change at all. The halacha remains that it's a treifa, despite the fact that nowadays it goes ahead and lives. Now, even though the Tzvua Shor thought that that was obvious from Rabbi Yerucham, the Rashba also repeated similar words in Taras Habayis that people living with holes in their heads, and we only have what Chachamim said. However, both Rabbi Yerucham and the Rashba added a few more details. And they said, both of them, that even though these things are curable, even though they're curable, but we pay no attention to the fact that they're curable, and ein lanu elama shemanu chacham. And the Rashba went on to say that if we pay too much attention to what the doctors cured, then we'd go ahead and start being matter other treifas too, and not only Nechser HaGulgolos, not only someone with a hole in his skull. We'd be matter all sorts of other punctures and things where nowadays they have a cure for it. And the Rashba said, well, that's impossible. So it must be that it's not important to us that nowadays we've discovered cures for these things. So really, what we see in the Rashba and Rabbi Yerucham is that they're not saying an absolute that even though the nature changed and situations are no longer lethal, nevertheless, they're still considered a treifa because Chazal called them a treifa. But rather, there's still lethal conditions and still lethal defects, but we've developed cures that didn't used to exist, and we don't pay attention to those cures. That's still a question why we shouldn't pay attention to those cures, because as we mentioned in the beginning of this year, a consequence of treifa nechaya is that it's not curable, as we saw from the Gemara in Daf Nun Dalet, that when there was a known cure, even an unknown cure, that would go ahead and make it not a treifa. So we still have to deal with that, but at least we've defined what the Rashba and the Rabbi Yerucham are discussing, not that a hole in the skull is no longer a lethal condition, but rather that there's currently known cure that we didn't know until then. Which brings us to the Rambam, very well-known Rambam, about which Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chazon Ish, comment, which is a basis for discussing Mishtane Hatev. The Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Beis says, "Ve'ein lahosif al treifas elu klal." Once he's done with his whole list of treifas, he says you cannot add to these treifas at all. Shekol sheyera leveim olachay laov, chutz me elu shemanu chach me adaris harishonim, deskimo aleim bati dina Yisrael. That if you're going to add to any of the treifas that the Chachamim and the Bati Din in Yisrael decided were treifas, Efsher Shetichya, excuse me, that they decided that it would live and they're not treifas, Afilu Noda Lana Midarech HaRefuah She'ein Sofa Lichyos, it's still not a treifa. So the Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis says that whatever Chazal said were not a treifa, and nowadays you find another condition, another defect that is considered lethal, and no one knows a cure for it, we say that it's still not a treifa. You can't add to treifas. And the Rambam in Halacha Yud Gimel says, "V'chein elu shemanu v'amru shein treifa." Even those that they said is a treifa, Even though from our knowledge of medicine it seems that they are not lethal, and there are some that we could cure, the words of Rebbeinu Yerucham, to assure, we only have what the Chachamim said, Shenamar al pi haTorah, Asher Yerucham. Like the Pasuk says about a Beis Din that seems to be saying the opposite of something we know to be true, says, al pi haTorah Asher Yerucham, whatever they teach you, the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, that's what we do. So now, even though we have conditions that nowadays look like they're curable, but we still only have the words of the Chacham. So it seems from the Rambam, which is the Chazon Ish's conclusion, that what the Rambam is saying is that even though nature changes, and even though now it looks at conditions that weren't lethal are now lethal, no cure, and even though it looks as if conditions that used to be lethal are now curable, but nevertheless, the halacha is that they're either not treifa or treifa, as we had, because even though nishtana teva, lo nishtana hadin. That's what would seem to be come out from the Rambam's opinion. But we have a serious question, and that is, what happened with the halacha of Yud Beis Chodesh? If what the Rambam is saying, if what the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe Feinstein are saying in the Rambam is true, so how in the world could it be that we permit an animal still with Yud Beis Chodesh? That's halacha l'daris, that's halacha in Shulchan Aruch, halacha in the Ramah, Siman and Zayin Sif Yud Ches. How could we go ahead nowadays and permit an animal Yud Beis Chodesh? We don't know when it's Nishtana Teva, when it's not Nishtana Teva. We don't know when something changed. If it's true that even though everything changed, or some things changed, but the laws didn't change, so let an animal live 12 months. Well, maybe this was Nishtana Teva, maybe now such a condition can survive 12 months. So what kind of proof is that it's not a treifa? Serious question, halacha. So Tzvua Shor says, well, we only have to be concerned about Nishtana Teva changing nature only if we know that it changed. But if we don't know that it changed, then we don't have to worry about changing nature. We can ignore it. Now the question is that a reasonable presumption on Tzvua Shor's part? Does that sound right? That if Chazal were fully aware that nature's changing, and the Paiskim were fully aware that nature's changing, so how in the world could they tell us that we could ignore changing nature? How could they give us a rule that you can go ahead and permit an animal 12 months, because if you didn't see nature change, you don't have to worry about it, even though they're fully aware of the phenomenon of nature changing? So just because they only saw it happen once, or saw it happen twice, but what if it happens even more times? The Rambam knew about it. So why didn't the Rambam say you can't rely on Yud Beis Chodesh? The Rambam paskins Yud Beis Chodesh. How could, sounds like an irresponsible method of psak. So it's for sure, even though he resolves the issue, but it's a resolution that it's very wanting in terms of dealing with an Isser Dereis of Treifus, why do we go ahead and do such a thing? Now it's for sure, put that aside for now. So the Chazon Ish says that since nature changes, and nevertheless halacha doesn't change, so we have to go ahead and decide at what point in time are the laws of treifus fixed. If nature was unchanging and unbending, so then the laws of treifus are forever. But if nature is changing, so what point in time is the halacha fixed? Now we do know, as we saw from the Gemara in Daf Mem Daf Lamed Aleph, and we see elsewhere from the Gemara, Daf Mem Beis Lamed Beis, elsewhere throughout the Perek, Eilu Treifus, that when Chazal saw that there was a cure, or that a condition wasn't lethal, they concluded that such a thing is not a treifa. They went ahead and evaluated treifas based on whether they understood it to be a lethal condition or not, which means based on the nature at their time. So how could they do that? Because if the halacha was fixed at Matan Torah, when Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah, that whatever conditions were lethal then are treifas, and any change of nature afterwards is not, so then what in the world are Chazal doing deciding anything based on what they see? So the Chazon Ish said that, in fact, it's not Matan Torah that fixes treifus, it's Chasimus HaTalmud. Chasimus HaTalmud fixes the treifus. However it was, when Ravina Rav Ashi closed the book, wrote the book, sealed it, that's treifus forevermore, even though things change. So whatever changed before, that's irrelevant. whatever happened to be in line at Chasimah's Talmud, that is what makes a difference with the treifas. There are a number of problems with this. The biggest problem is that the Chazon Ish mentions that there was a chazon called Sefer Refuas. He doesn't mention it. The Mishnah mentions it. Sachim is something called Sefer Refuas. And Sefer Refuas, perhaps from Adam Arishon, had a cure for just about everything. That's our Kabbalah. Cure for just about everything. Chizkiyahu Melech hid that away because people, instead of davening to Ribbono Shel Olam, they ran for the Sefer Refuas, and it didn't help Ribbono Shel Olam make people sick. They still wouldn't do tshuva because they had a Sefer Refuas ready and available. And not only that, speaking to Jews, it was free. So there's no reason for them to go ahead and daven. So that was a big problem. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, with the consent of the sages of his day, hid away the Sefer Refuas. But until then, there was a cure for everything. Now, if there's a cure for everything, so how did it work? Until Chizkiyahu's time, there were no treifas. Then all of a sudden, there were treifas. Or even worse of a question, if everything depends on Chasimah's Talmud, then did it depend on Chasimah's Talmud even at Matan Torah? Meaning they had to guess what would be the situation in Chasimah's Talmud? So the Chazon Ish would say that no, it evolved. That was a treifa today, wasn't treifa tomorrow, and things kept on changing, up until Chasimah's Talmud, which was the last time to register your teva. And at that time, nature decided what was the treifa, and after that, nothing changed. That's how the Chazon Ish understands it, but seriously, there are very serious problems with understanding that approach in the Gemara. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal avoids all those problems by saying that Matan Torah is koveya everything. And what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave, Halacha L'Moshe Nisinai, as treifas of Matan Torah, those never changed throughout history. And the teva never changed throughout history. Those were the treifas. So now we don't have to get into any difficult scenarios of what Chazal thought as they went through the Zman HaTalmud, what the Nevi'im thought, what the Malachim thought. Treifas, as they received it from Sinai, those were always the treifas. Just one problem. How did Chazal go ahead and evaluate treifas based on how they understood the Teva? Because maybe Teva changed, nature changed, and now what they were looking at was not the Teva that was around by Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Chazal should avoid that problem. That's a problem if he Ramoshe. Ramoshe has an answer for that too. Ramoshe says, Chazal had a Kabbalah that the Teva would not change until Zman Chasimah Satan. Had a Kabbalah that until Zman Chasimah's Talmud, everything would remain the same. After that, there could be changes. But until then, no changes. So that's why they could decide everything based on how they viewed the world. And that's why there's no problem about the Ribbono Shel Olam giving Hilchos Treifas, which would only be fixed thousands of years later. Everything works out beautifully, except for one little point. And that is, we still have a problem about how we can Paskim today with 12 months and the Matra Sofik Treif with 12 months. Because now, once it's Chasimah's Talmud, the Teva could change. How can we deal with that? And the corollary of that problem is, how could Chazal not hint to us any place in the Gemara that, by the way, we're only able to do this because we have a Kabbalah that Teva isn't changing until we're chosing the Talmud. But afterwards, beware. How could Chazal have ignored that most critical point? And it's a problem. According to all these pshat. So then, what can we say to explain how nowadays, starting from Rabbeinu Yerucham's time of the hole in the skull, moving on to today's time, whichever conditions the Rambam was referring to, whichever conditions we're referring to today, as the Chazon Ish says, we have surgeries, remote, we have all sorts of surgeries that cure all sorts of conditions, and the people live on, have nice, happy, healthy lives, Admei Ve'esrim, after undergoing such procedures, all of which, many of which would make treifas by letter of the law. So what do we say about all of that? If we can't say, even though Nishtana Tevel and Nishtana Din, what option do we have? We truly have a very big option, because Rav Avadya Bat Yonura, in Psachim, in Perek Dalet Mishnah Tes, when he mentions Sefer Refuas, he says what was contained in Sefer Refuas was Refuas Skulios. It was amulets, it was chants, it was different herbs, all things that extra medical cures. And it's quite possible that such cures are relevant in taking away the shame treifa. Meaning treifa is defined as a lethal wound. That's how the Rashba explained it, a lethal wound. A lethal wound that could be cured by medicine, so that's not a wound that's lethal anymore. Even if we're not aware of the cure, perhaps, as we said. But a wound that doesn't have a treatment, a wound that somehow, some mystical way, can be cured, so mysticism does not stop the wound from being lethal. That's like Hatzolah, that's a salvation from another end, some other way of saving the day, but without curing this wound. I mean, the wound has no cure, but there are certain other things you can do to save yourself. The Gemara discusses a certain grass that someone who got bitten by this terribly poisonous snake the venom was so strong, would make people fall into bits. They just crumble up when bitten by such a snake, but they put this grass on their head and they would survive. It discusses once someone who had this grass on his head, he didn't know what the grass was. He was bitten by this horrible snake, and he came back into town with a snake coiled around his head and fully living and talking. And someone who was a snake charmer saw him, and he said, "How in the world are you living?" And he said, "Oh, I see." He said, "Take the grass off your head and let's see what happens." He took the grass off and he crumbled into bits. Meaning, that doesn't mean there was a cure for the snake bite. It's some magical, mystical way of a person surviving. And the Rav says that was what the Sefer Refuahs was. So that's not at all, then, any stira in the Sefer Refuahs being extant during the times of the Malachim until Chizkiyahu. That had no bearing on Hilchus Treifus. There were cures, but all of them were extra medicinal cures, which have no relevance at all. And not only that, but we find that the Rush mentions in the fourth parak that he brings the Ramban who says that if one cuts off a leg, above the spot in a leg where it makes it a trefa, this is only according to some opinions without getting into the details, but there are certain places on the leg where according to some opinions that below it, if severed there is a trefa, above it is not a trefa. So what if a person, an animal, endured a wound in a place that made a trefa, and afterwards surgery was performed to cut above that spot and take away, so to speak, the trefa, because if it had originally been cut there, amputated there, it wouldn't have been a trefa. So the trefa is gone, so to speak. So Ramban says, well, he's cured, and it's no longer a trefa. And the Rush says that's impossible, because that's only tosefes ke'ev. That's only making it hurt even more. And making it hurt even more cannot take away the trefa. And it's still a treifa. The Rosh discusses something else called cholia treifas, the sickness of treifas. I don't have time to discuss that today. Maybe another day, if invited. But what we do see now is that even the Ramban, who says that surgery could take away the treifas, but the Ramban still agreed that until the surgery was performed, it was still a treifa. So as long as it's amputated in the spot that it's a treifa. Once you cut it off above that, then it's not a treifa anymore. So that means we see that there are certain procedures that even though it can save the life of the animal, but that's not considered something that cures. And if it cannot cure the wound, if the wound remains and there's just some other way of dealing with it, that does not take away trefus. To summarize this point, if there's a way to cure the wound, so then that's not a trefa. But if there's some mystical, extra medical way, or even a surgical way, which does not cure the wound, but rather just removes the problem of the wound, in the Ramban's case, removing the problem of the wound entirely, so that does not go ahead and make it not a trefa. So then to sum up, and understanding now the Rambam that we mentioned, which is a source of the Chazon Ish and the Igros Moshe's understanding that Mishtana Tevel and Mishtana Din, let's see the Rambam again. The Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis, Hilchos Shechita Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis says that even though it seems to us that animals are going to die from a certain condition, if Chazal didn't say that they're going to die from that condition, then that's not a trefa. Now that's no problem with us having to come on to saying Nishtana HaTeva, because of course we understand that there can be situations where they used to have a better handle on medicine than we have nowadays. It could be they're aware of certain cures that are now hidden from us, and the fact that today we don't know the cure doesn't mean it didn't used to have the cure. So if we see a condition that seems to us lethal and is not on the list of treifas, the Rambam says, don't say Nishtana Teva. Just say that there used to be a cure and we're unaware of it. That part's understood. Now when he continues, Halacha Yud Gimel, it's the same exact line of reasoning. No different. He says, so even though now we see conditions that used to be lethal, but now they're curable, that's how it seems to us. Now, if the Rambam meant that nishtana hateva velo nishtana din, that has nothing to do with al pi ha-Torah she'irucha. Al pi ha-Torah she'irucha means when we're trying to sell us something that is impossible to our eyes. Chazal say A, and we see B. So we say al pi ha-Torah she'irucha, they tell you right is left and left is right, you do what they say. But if all the point is nishtana hateva velo nishtana din, so that's fine. You don't need al pi ha-din to voke al pi ha-Torah she'irucha for that. Just say that trefas or whatever Chazal said, and that's Ladaris, and even though Nishtana Tevel, Nishtana Din, you don't have to say anything more. Al Pi HaTorah She'irucha means that we're actually dealing with a conflict to what we see. The way we see it, we see that these conditions are cured. So Rambam's saying, no, Al Pi HaTorah She'irucha, they're not cured. They're in fact not cured. It looks like they're cured, but the wound isn't cured. The animal will live on, but the condition isn't cured. So don't say because the animal lives, you're in good shape. Because that's what we saw by surgical procedures according to Ramban, that's what we saw from the Rabbi Sefer HaRefuas, that either surgical cures that cut away the trephis and don't heal them, or extra medicinal cures that don't cure the trephis, but just go ahead and give the person or the animal some other way to live, those do not take away the fact that the wound is lethal. Only something that could cure the wound can go ahead and make it not a trephis. So the Rambam saying that don't go ahead and say, well, we have this cure, we have this procedure, this surgery, this amulet, this medicine, if they're not going to cure the wound, if the wound's going to remain, or even if it looks like the wound was cured, but can't be certain, maybe not, none of those cures are relevant. So that's al pi ha-Torah she'irucha. Chazal told us they're not curable. Understand that they're not curable. But nothing at all to do, perhaps, with nishtan ha-teva, and therefore we understand clearly why even nowadays the halacha of permitting a treifa that's lived, a suffix treifa that's lived for 12 months, is still just as valid as it always has been. Thank you.